Thank you so very much for the time that you allow us to come together. We thank you for the country that you give us that we inherit the right from our forefathers and from their due diligence and their mindfulness to set aside a set of laws which allow us to come together. And Father, we know that's only a generation away, and we know that the enemy is seeking to devour us and devour the freedom that you give us in this land. Father, we ask that you would protect us and protect this land that you have given us as we go through our lives. And we ask that you would open up the minds and hearts of this generation to the grace message and to the truth that there is only one way to get to heaven, and that's through the finished work of the cross. I would ask if you would be with me today as I bring this message. Father, this is not an easy message to bring. But it is something that I do believe that you would all have all of here, and I would ask that you would guide me as I teach this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I appreciate y'all allowing me to stop early last week and get a better grasp on what I was teaching. And I think some of my problem in teaching last week is that I lost my context. I lost my context. When I come into these verses, we have the verse that says, in Hebrews 4:1, it says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." So, when it says, "let us therefore," it's going back to what he was talking about before, right? That's the context, correct? Okay, so what was he talking about before? What was he talking about before? So, as Coach was saying, they were talking about the failure of the faith for the Israelites, which came out of Egypt, to trust enough in God to know that He was going to, He had this plan for him, He had this land for them, and He was going to make sure that they were going to take care, that they were going to, He was going to put them in it, and He was going to protect them through this time, but they didn't have faith in that. They only had faith in what they saw. They didn't have faith in God. And we're exactly right, because we look and we come from, what was the last verse we were talking about in Hebrews 3, right at the end, it says, did I get to the right place? Unbelief, yeah. It says, and we back up a little bit, it says, "while it is said, today, if we hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit, not all that came forth out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom he was grieved for 40 years, was it not them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom he sware, he that they should not enter into the rest, believe not." So we see they couldn't enter because of unbelief. He is quoting a scripture there, is he not? What scripture is he quoting? Does anybody know? Psalms, yes. Nope. 95. Psalms 95. And I want to jump there and read this because that's what he's quoting out of this scripture. He's going back to the Hebrew scripture and quoting. These individuals are now, that they have come to, they have come to the Lord Jesus Christ through the finished work of the cross. And they're wanting to run back to Judaism. They want to put themselves back under a yoke. They want to put themselves back under the law. And they have a better way, do they not? So, what is it saying here? In Psalms 95, it says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above God, all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are His people, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. And here it goes. This is what we're hearing. This is what it says. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long I was grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. That's what he's quoting coming into this chapter. Okay? So now let's jump back to Hebrews 4. He is the writer of the scripture here is telling it to the generation that's after the cross. The psalm was written by David. I don't know the exact date, but hundreds of years earlier. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to that just a little bit on. That's coming. But the rest here we're talking about there. I got tied up in the rest last time. And I kind of nailed down that I thought the rest was one thing. There's several rests we see here. We see the rest of going into the land, right? Is that the rest that was given, that was promised to the Jews at that particular time coming out of Egypt? He's like, I will give you a land of milk and honey. I'm going to take you to the land. That's what the rest he was talking about. And then they're going to be in a minute. We're going to go into a Sabbath day rest here in a minute. And then we have the rest, the glorious rest that we have in the Lord Jesus, which is head and shoulders above what they had. We have a rest that our work is finished. It was done for us. It was done for us on that cross. And these people are wanting to go back and put themselves back under a law. You see how they're wanting to put themselves, take themselves out of that rest that is promised to them? And put themselves back under something that was ineffective. So it says, let us therefore fear. And I'm going to jump to a more English translation here. I like the English translation. It says, therefore, while the promise of entering into his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. I like that word seem in there. Seem in there. Because we're talking about believers here, are we not? So, if the price was paid on the cross, and if they have believed, they are already into that rest. God has done the work for you, right? Can anything separate you from the love of Christ? Once you have accepted the finished work of the cross, once Christ, you are of God, take yourself out of it? Is there anything that can take you out of it? So that word seem in there gives us an idea. It's like you seem. You know, they can't pull themselves back. They are Christians. They are in the family of God, but they want to take themselves out. And they don't want to enjoy being in the family. They want to stick themselves. They're going to want to go somewhere and put themselves back under a law. They want to put themselves back under a burden instead of having the freedom that they have as sons and daughters of God. It says, for the good news, in verse 2 it says, for the good news came to us just as it was to them. So, there was a good news that was preached to us. And what was the good news preached to us? The finished work of the cross, right? Okay, that's how we get... What was the good news preached to them? That's it. So, that was preached to them that there was a land of milk and honey out there, that God was going to give them this land, and He was going to take care of them in this land. All they did to have faith in God, knowing that when He says He's going to do something, He's going to do it, right? Okay, well, they didn't have that faith. It says, but the message they heard did not benefit them because it was not united by faith with those that listened. Okay, the message, and I'm going to go and read verse 3, because it says, for we who have believed enter in the rest. Okay, so this message, they had a gospel given them. The gospel was a message, right? And the gospel given to them was trust in God. I'm going to give you this land, and you're going to be able to go in, and you're going to possess it, and God's going to protect you, right? They didn't have faith that God could do that. Now, we go down and read in here, it says, we were preached a message, and these people believed. We know they believed because it says in verse 7, for we who have believed enter into that rest. And he's talking about believers here, or not? No, you're good. You're good. Okay, so it says, those who have believed enter into the rest as he has said. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter to the rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken of the seventh day in this way, that God rested on the seventh day from all His works. It's another type and shadow to the rest. Why? So what did He do? He had creation for 6 days, correct? And then on the seventh day, He rested. Do you think God needed to rest? Do you think God was tired? It's a shadow as to what was coming. And we see that same shadow in Judaism. What were they supposed to do on the Sabbath day? They worked for 6 days. On the seventh day, they were to rest. God had a strict set of laws, did He not? Okay? Now, man took those laws and stretched them way on out there and made it even farther, but God had a certain set of laws. And that was the way it was set up. The seventh day was set up for the rest, and it was a type and shadow to the rest that was to come. But it still wasn't the finished rest of Christ on the cross, was it not? They have a much better rest right now. They should be within this rest, but they won't put themselves back under the law. You see what they're trying to do? We have a much better, God has much better stuff for you, but you want to go back to what's comfortable. You want to go back to what's comfortable because all my friends are there. And I can do business there. We were talking up here and Coach was bringing up a thing about a history book that he's reading, or he has. And the best thing about it was free, but it's a good history book. And he talks about, and he brought up how there was, you know, the kind of the Jewish church wanted to call itself Nazarenes, and the Gentile church were more known as saints. I trust the saints better because Paul always wrote about that. You know, I'm a big Pauline guy. But then in the end, he says, as the histories go through, the Christian or the saint, the Christian church where the saints kind of persecuted the Nazarenes were kind of caught. They couldn't really go back to Judaism. They couldn't really think because they were being ostracized in both ways. I would like to read that, see what is going on, because it's history. And coaches get a history thing. I love history. So, but you see how they want to take and they want to put themselves back in their own little comfort zone, but they can't even get there, can they? Yes, sir. Okay. So, now we have them spoken of a Sabbath rest. And it goes on in verse 5. It says, and again, in the passage, he says, they shall not enter my rest. And what is he referring back to? He's referring back to, again, in Psalms 95, is he not? That's where he originally said this. He's referring back to that passage. It says, since therefore it remains for some to enter it, those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of what? Disobedience. Unbelief, it says in the King James. But it's a disobedience. They were disobedient to God. And again, it appoints a certain day, because in the Psalm, what does it say? It says today, saying through David, long after the words are already quoted, today if you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. It's making a stipulation here. It's like, let me go on and read verse 8. It says, it says Jesus here in King James, but this is Joshua. It says, for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So, what is, when they say in the psalmist says, in some 500 years later, today, hearken to my voice. If they're not speaking of the rest, you see that there's still a rest to come. If not, the rest would have already happened when they went into the land, right? So there's still this rest to come. And they're taking and they're trying to put themselves back under. You see how they're trying to put themselves back under a rest that is already gone. I think that's what they're trying to say here. This rest that you're trying to put yourself under is no longer in effect. There is a better rest out there. There's a better rest out there. And what is this rest he's talking about? We rest in the finished works of the cross. We rest in the works of what the Lord Jesus did for us. That is the ultimate rest, is it not? What can we do above what He has already done? It says, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rest from His works as God did from His. On the seventh day, God rested from His works. He had no more work to do, right? Now, if we can enter into it, if they can enter into this rest, they cease from all their works. They don't have to go and they don't have to do these works that they want to put themselves back under. And no, that is exactly what they want to do. They want to put themselves back under the law. You see how he's telling them, don't put yourself back under this system. And this system that, if you could do it, you could be safer. It was perfect. Was the law perfect? Scripture says the law was perfect, right? What was not perfect? Us. We're not perfect. The only way to perfectly do the law is to be a perfect person. And the only perfect person that's ever been out there has been the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the logic of the writer here? Yes, sir. You can see a historical thing in that. And I would love to go into that, Coach. I appreciate that, but I don't want I'm going over this. I'm trying to stick not from the historical point of view. I agree. I agree with you, Coach, and I appreciate it. So it says, let us therefore strive, or let us therefore, let's go back to our King James, because there's a little bit of wordplay here. And it says in the King James, let us therefore labor to enter into the rest. Now, when we think of labor, what do we think? Do we do work to enter into this rest? No. So we have to always understand, when we look at our King James, that we had to understand the nuances of the language when it was written. Right? So that's the reason why sometimes I jump back and I like the ESV for this. And it says, let us therefore strive. Let us therefore be diligent, like you said, to enter into this rest. So that no one may fail in the same sort of disobedience. And what was their disobedience? Not trusting in what God said. Well, now, again, these people have believed, have they not? These are believers, right? So we're not saying that they're not going to get to heaven. We're not saying that they're not part of the family of God. What we're saying is that they're not going to get the understanding, they're not going to get the message, they're not going to get the fulfillment of the full Christian life. They're not going to be able to move into that rest. You know, my brother, when he was alive, we had a long conversation. This was years ago. And he had walked the aisle. He believed, And we had a long conversation on the phone, and he was very, my brother was a very emotional man. He could cry, and I don't like crying. I think, you know, I'm a big, strong Marine, you know, it's just the way I am. And in a way, I relished the ability for that he had to cry in my deep in my heart, because I tend to not want to do that. And so it's kind of like, yeah, I think that it is admirable that he could do that. But he called and he's very emotional, and he's like, you know, I guess I don't know what he was listening to or what he was doing, but he ran across this thing where he talked to me about how he didn't know if he had confessed all his sin. He didn't know that if there was something lingering out there that he hadn't confessed. And it says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, right? Right. But if you understand the meaning behind it, that's not really a literal thing. You have to say everything with your mouth. But how many people don't understand? I had a 30-minute conversation with him trying to make him understand that we have done so many things wrong in our life, there's no way we can confess everything we do. And we will continue to do things wrong in this life as long as we live in this fleshly body, because we have a war going on inside us between the fleshly man and the spiritual man. And we are constantly moving back and forth, this pendulum swinging. And we're constantly losing the battle. And some battles we win and some battles we lose. But he was nearly in tears about how he's worried about his salvation, because he doesn't know if he has confessed everything he's ever done. Where is the rest there? Where is that rest? Is that the rest we're promised? That's not a very fitful sleep. That's one of those ones you get woke up all the night long, and when you get up, you're still tired, right? That's not the rest we have. We have a full rest within the Lord Jesus Christ. He has accomplished everything, ladies and gentlemen. He has accomplished everything. And that's what they're talking about here. It says, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And when he said the word God, I think they're narrowing down to exactly what they've been talking about here. He's not talking about the broad word of God. And the broad word of God is sharper and everything. But just look at what he's talking about. What he's basically talking about is the grace message and where they're at, and this rest message that they have this stuff available to them. This message, this word of God you're giving, it's living and it's active. It's not a dead word. It's not sitting still. It's moving. It's living. It's active. The Word of God, the message I give, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Two-edged sword. Now, we don't look at a two-edged sword because we are gun culture, right? We like our guns. You know, that's what you come to me with a sword, I'm going to shoot you. I win. But sharper than any two-edged sword. When he says a two-edged sword, that means it's sharp on both sides, right? And it cuts both ways. Piercing the division between soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. And then here comes the thing. It says it discerns the thought and intentions of the heart. It's so sharp that it can take and it can whittle down. It cuts you. It cuts you wide open, and it can discern what's going on in you, your thoughts, what you're thinking, and the intentions of what your heart meant. And it says, no creature is hidden from this sight, but all the naked, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him that of him we must give account. You see how how this word that is given can affect the individual. We have this rest. We have the, it has the power to splay us wide open and show us where we need to be. All we have to do is listen to it. And that's what he's telling these people. You have this word of God. You don't have to run back to this failed system. This failed system. Do not run back to Judaism. And from what Coates is saying, there's an historic thing where we know that in 70 AD, there was that the Romans crushed Jerusalem, the temple was sacked, millions of people were killed. So anybody running back to just Judaism was going to be caught in that melee of forces. But just from a spiritual thing, where is the rest going to be if they want to continue to run back and put themselves under the law? Is that not what is that not the same thing the doggone Israelites wanted to do? They wanted to take and they wanted to run back and put themselves under the Egyptian law, did they not? Hey, back there we had 3 squares a day, right? The Marine Corps, 3 hots and a cot, right? Okay, so you know what? Sometimes what we find comfortable to us is what we want to run to. And sometimes we need to run through what's not comfortable. Sometimes, you know, God doesn't always tell us everything that's going to go on, does He? But our faith could always say that God knows what's best for us. Right? That's where faith comes in. And is this a faith that we cannot prove? Has God ever failed? Not that I know of. There's a lot of people out there that will say He failed, and then come a few years later you find out that they're wrong. They're wrong. I've read many of books. I love reading about, there was some biologists, and they were looking back into the cells and stuff like that, and how amazing it is and everything like that. Read some of the stuff, and there's some evidence in history about exactly how true this Bible is, exactly how much knowledge this Bible is. If you try to prove it, there's many people that try to disprove it, did you not? And they haven't been able to disprove it, not once. And this was written how many years ago? But we're so smart, aren't we? We're just the smartest people around. This intelligence age, when it is an amazing intelligence age. Do you realize that less than 100 years ago, if we were sitting in a building, not like this, it wouldn't be as nice as this would be. Sitting in a building of the people standing in front of me or sitting in front of me today would never have went 5 miles. How many of us have been to other countries or around the world in different places? It's in 100 years. You see how information, how we think we're so smart? But we're not that smart, are we? We should rest in the finished work of the cross, ladies and gentlemen. And I think that's what he's telling them here. They're wanting to put themselves back under Judaism. And he's saying, that system is long gone and done with. That is not what I'm doing now. Learn the grace message and move forward in grace. The grace of the God, Lord, the grace message. Next week, we're going to be talking about more Jewish stuff, and we're going to talk about Jesus, the great high priest. We'll get into Melchizedek and everything like that. So I hope I've done better this week. I feel that I had a better grasp on it. And I think last week I got outside of I was moving away from where context of my verse into something I shouldn't be teaching. I appreciate y'all allowing me to step back last week and come again this week and walk through the scriptures again. Has anybody got anything else they'd like to say before we close? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so very much as always for this free gift that you give us through the Lord Jesus Christ, this finished work on the cross, this the Father so much that he would come and give his life for us and on that cross, serve 3 days in a tomb, be raised from the dead, Father, and we who believe are children of God now. Father, we believe that. And we ask that as we go forward, as we learn, as we live, that you would always hold the finished work of the cross in our minds, that we are nothing and you have done everything and we could not be there if it wasn't for your finished work. We praise you for that. We ask that you would bring it to us always. As we go forth in our next lesson, we ask that you would open our hearts, our minds. Actually, we would bring this Gideon man that's coming up to us, have his message be strong and powerful, Father. As Mike brings us our message, I would ask that you would make it move in our hearts. Use the Holy Spirit to teach us through your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.